Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John. Chapter 4. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone on to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's this great story about women in less developed parts of Africa, who, upon learning that in the United States people have water running directly into their houses, say to one another and to the people who bring that news to them, "Well, how do women catch up with each other then? How do they know each other? Where do they meet for gossip?" For in their country, where wells are at a distance from where they live, they walk together and they get there and they help each other fill their containers and they talk with one another and they meet at the well, and it's the place where they connect and tell each other what's going on with their families, possibly gossip a little bit about what's going on in their villages. But the well was the place of meeting and connecting and building community. And so these women, upon learning about the faucets we have in our kitchens and our bathrooms, felt sorry for us because we don't have that same way of connecting with one another. Wells are an ancient symbol of life and community. And so when we read of this encounter that Jesus had with a woman whose name we never learn, we are witnesses to something extraordinary, something unusual, and yet something rather quotidian or of the everyday. It was unusual for Jesus and the disciples to be walking through the territory that belonged to the Samaritans. Normally, religious Jews would have taken another route to avoid the people that they were divided from. But Jesus said, "Why do we have to go this extra way? Let's go through," because they are still God's people. And so they arrive at this well, Jacob's well, and Jesus stays behind while the disciples go on ahead to gather some food. So Jesus is at the well by himself in the middle of the day, the heat of the day. And a woman arrives. Imagine being sitting next to a well after walking all morning and realizing that you have not brought your water bottle. Now, Jesus wouldn't have had a water bottle, but the equivalent of that, realizing that you don't have a cup or a way to reach down and get some of that water to quench your thirst that you would have developed over the hours of walking. And there he sits alone. And behold, a woman comes to gather her water in the middle of the day. Think about that part of the world and how the middle of the day would be probably pretty hot and uncomfortable. Most women would have come to the well early in the morning and then would have planned to come again later in the afternoon or the early evening. They would have stocked up for the day, for their families, for their husbands. But coming at noon would have been what people did who didn't fit in with the women of the village. So he approaches the woman who arrived at the well, and he says to her, "Please give me something to drink." He sees that she has something to dip out the water with, and he is thirsty, and he breaks with every tradition. Because in those days, it would have been unusual for a man to speak to a woman with whom he had no relationship, especially if they were alone. In those days, it would have been unusual for a Jew to ask a Samaritan to help him with some water. It would have been unusual for this man, this Jewish man, to ask to use the woman's cup, to be fed from her cup rather than providing his own container for the water. So already we know that Jesus is not living by any of the traditions, and he's just breaking every rule and speaking to the woman and asking for something to drink. You know, as I'm talking about water, are any of you feeling thirsty? I have my own cup. I didn't bring enough for all of y'all. But you know, we start talking about water and we think about that kind of thirst that sort of nags at us. And when we get thirsty, we begin to think of it more and more, and we wonder, when are we ever going to get to the point where we have some water? When can we quench our thirst? She shares some water with Jesus. She doesn't care about how scandalous it all is. And then they begin to talk. And Jesus says, you know, you could ask me for some water too. And she says, well, you don't have anything. How could you give me water? And he says, I could give you living water so that you would never thirst again. Now, that's hard to really imagine or to believe. So then they talk about who she is, and he says, go get your husband. And she says, well, I'm not married. And he says, I know you're not married, but you've been married 5 times, and you're living with someone now. Now, that could have come out as some kind of condemnation, possibly. And maybe that's why the woman was at the well on her own, because the other women in the village had shunned her because of who knows why she had had so many husbands. Maybe they had died. Maybe they had been, difficult to live with. But there's that sense that she has been cut off from the community because she's at the well in the middle of the day. There's kind of a sense of shame about this woman. And Jesus talks to her as if none of that matters. Her different culture, her different gender, her history with family, none of it mattered. And she realized how he was treating her with that kind of love that says, nothing about you can make me turn my back on you. Nothing you have done, nothing you have said. I am here to love you with this water that will fill you continually. Imagine how she must have felt, having that kind of acceptance, possibly after having been rejected by the people in the village, of having been shunned and had their backs turned to her. But what does she do? After she has this feeling of acceptance and realizes that Jesus knows her and still loves her, what does she do? But she turns around and goes to the village, and she tells them of her experience. These people who have turned from her, possibly, who may be whispering about her behind her back, possibly. We don't really know the whole story, but somewhere in there, we know there's a scandal, because we just see the scandal with Jesus even having a conversation with her. And she goes back and she tells them what happened. And she said, listen, I met this man who knows everything about me, and still he talks of this living water that can change our lives. Come with me and meet him. Would you have gotten up and listened? Would you have listened to her? What would she have had to say to get you to leave whatever you're doing in the heat of the day to go to the well. But as we read on, the story tells us the people followed her and listened to him, and they were so taken with him that they invited him to stay with them, and he agreed. He stayed with him with the village. He stayed overnight in this village of Samaritan people. Remember, there's a little tension between the Jews and the Samaritans, and Jesus and his disciples stayed with them anyway. And they were changed because of this encounter that Jesus had first with this woman whose name we never learn, and then their own encounter with this man who somehow conveyed a sense of new life, a sense of love, a sense of grace, and a sense of hope through his very words. Have you ever felt that sense that no matter what you have done, no matter who you are, that you are loved? That you are loved. That's what we talk about when we come together in worship. That's what we talk about in our families, in our community, and in our faith journey. Sometimes we talk about it, but we don't always know it. We don't always experience it. But every now and then we are just struck by some experience of someone bringing that message that no matter what, no matter where, no matter who, we are loved. And we are changed in that moment. When we experience that unconditional love that never abandons us, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter how hard we turn our backs on one another, we are loved. That's the message of the gospel. And that we never have to thirst for that kind of love again, because it is always right there. We do know what it's like to be thirsty. We do know what it's like to long for that kind of love, to belong and to be known. And that is the invitation that Jesus makes that day, that we can be loved no matter what. How do we stay connected to that living water? How do we share the news of that living water so that others want to come and to drink with us? Maybe we talk about it with our friends and our family. Maybe we demonstrate it with our friends and our family. How is it that we can practice that kind of love to one another? It's not always easy, but that's what we're called to do. Maybe we do it with volunteer work. Maybe we do it by coming to church regular. Maybe we immerse ourselves in studying the scriptures. But it's not enough to do those things alone. It's things that we do as part of a community. Jesus sent the woman to get her husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. So she went and she got the whole town. Imagine if we went and told our story and our experience of being loved to the very core of our being. If we shared that experience with the whole town and said, come and see. We wouldn't have enough room here for all the people who came. That's what Jesus is telling us about as he speaks of this living water. Water that fills us in a way that we can't do on our own. Mary Oliver has a poem called Wild Geese. Listen to what she says. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the geese high in the clean blue air are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely the world offers itself to your imagination, calls you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles. So often we think that we have to do something. But all that woman did, the woman whose name we never learn, all that she did was talk to Jesus, give him some water, and listen to what he said, and realize that she was known, that she was loved, and she was enough. Let us drink of that same water and be made whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.